Welcome, everyone. Eagles insider Dave Spadaro with you. It's Eagles 360 on this Tuesday from the NovaCare Complex. Got a great show for you today. Glenn McNamara will be by with his three takeaways from Sunday's thrilling game against the New York Giants. And head coach Doug Peterson in studio as well. We want to first begin with some tape study with Ike Reese and Deuce Staley. LeGarrette Blount, a big game, running the football with authority, a 17-yard run, the subject of this review.
On first down, Wentz goes into a long count. He comes back and gives it off to Blount. And Blount carrying and bowling over people to the 30, to the 35, almost to the 40.
Joining us for this week's edition of Tape Study, my former teammate, Eagle great, Deuce Daly. Deuce, welcome to the show.
Baby. How you doing, Ike?
Glad to have you on here,
glad
man.
To be here.
A lot of talk this past week about the run-pass ratio, getting the running backs involved. Not only did we get the big fella involved this week in LeGarrette Blount, you got all your running backs involved this week in the running game. Let's talk about LeGarrette's carries here. We'll take a look at some of the other guys as well.
Definitely. I tell you, it's exciting. You know, of course, you're not playing together. Being a part of three great running backs here. I call myself great, so I snuck that
in. I like
right.
that. Yeah, you're right.
But, you know, back then we ran the ball a lot, and I definitely share stories with these guys. And yesterday going out there on the field, I told them, I said, hey, we are the Broad Street Bullies today. You know, we want to take it and we want to punch them in the mouth all day long, and we're going to start with you, big guy.
Yeah.
So starting here with 29, just want to get him going downhill. You know, you see these DBs, you see linebackers kind of bounce off of him. So when he got his legs churning and he's moving forward, he's hard to stop. And one thing about a big guy like him, and you saw it when he was at the Patriots, he's able to get north. I hate to say north and south because south is going backwards.
Right.
He's able to get north, and these DBs find the receivers.
Yeah.
Instead
they,
of
they
finding
go looking
the
for the receiver.
Yeah, they go looking for the receiver because they don't want to hit him. This is our wham and our bam scheme. And what we're doing here with our tight end, we're bringing him in, and he's actually whamming or bamming the shade in this case right here. And he's open, midline, and road, and he's reading the front side backer here. But what it is, he's strictly downhill. Strictly downhill. That's what he's thinking. I'm running downhill. I'm waiting for this guy to come and crack this shade, and it's going to be a nice little area there.
Gets behind those shoulder pads.
Yes. Gets behind Big JP.
Yeah.
Gets behind Kelsey. Right here now. Once he gets through, what I love about it, we always try to teach running back coaches around the league, from little leagues to high school, college. You try to teach shoulders over toes because you want to be able to make sure that these little DBs that's coming in, they're going after your knees, they're going after your ankles. You want to make sure you match pad level. And as you see, now right there, he gets his pads down, which is awesome. Now, he's able to run through that. But what's important here, you see the legs continue to churn, continue to pick his knees up, and he can get extra yardage after that.
Really had, obviously, his best day
right.
as an Eagle.
I'm just happy to see 2-9 get going.
Joined now by Glenn Macnell. How are you, sir?
Hey, Dave.
How's the heart after Sunday?
You know, it was so great. Just that last moment, you felt the 65,000 people pulling that ball through.
68,000 of them ended up on the field.
It was great. It was
I've never seen any bedlam
moment.
Like that in my life.
It was such a fun moment.
And a big win for the Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah. And a game that was telling in so many ways, and we're going to tell you right now what Glenn's takeaways are from a 27-24 thriller in South Philly.
All right, I'm going to try to give you three that haven't been discussed, maybe as much, although by now people have thought of most elements. But one, let's give a little bit of applause to Jason Kelce, a guy who really doesn't get a lot of positive acclaim all the time. His run blocking, I thought on Sunday, was terrific. He blew open the hole for LeGarrette Blount in his big run. He led the way on Clement's big touchdown
yes.
run. And Wendell Smallwood had one with 3 minutes to go. He was right out front there. He's not your 325-pound prototypical center. But when you run the ball, and they ran for 193 yards, he's out there. He does it very well.
And he did it against the interior of a Giants defense that includes 350-pound Damon Snacks Harrison.
Yeah.
So for whatever reason, the Giants have been getting run on this year. We all thought a mismatch would be obviously the Eagles' defensive line against it. But we also wondered about the matchup of Kelce against the bulk of the Giants. And he wins.
He did it. He did really well. It was
so
great
kind
to
of
see.
A, in kind of a the Giants versus the, what do you call it? Not Jack and the Beanstalk, but the Giant Slayer?
Yes, Jack the Giant Slayer.
Yeah.
There you go.
Jason the Giant Slayer.
That's, you know what?
If I had gotten it out right the first time.
Right, okay, thank you. Later in the season, you're going to hit
I'll talk
that
to Jason about that right now. Let's get through this segment.
All right, number two, I thought it was a real mixed bag of a day for Alshon Jeffrey, and I think after 3 weeks, we really don't know what we've got yet. He was open on a pass that Wentz overthrew him. Everybody's talked about that. Problem was he had those two huge penalties in the fourth quarter that really hurt you. The first on a 3rd and 8 with just 8 minutes to go. He was called for offensive pass interference.
Bogus call.
Listen, after Sunday, I can't complain about officiating at all after that game.
By the way, Alshon also had drew a pass interference call down the field.
Yes.
Set up a touchdown.
We're going to get to all those. He had a second costly penalty in the second to last drive. He got that face mask penalty. Was that a bogus too?
No.
Okay. But you mentioned the pass interference he drew. And then, of course, the play of the game prior to the field goal. Terrific knowledge of time, of space, of where you were. That was the huge play. So mixed bag for him.
And I've asked this question as you watched, and I didn't watch it a ton. Do the Eagles get that 1 second on the clock at MetLife Stadium?
I did go back and watch it, and I put on my, the clock. Your iPhone has a timer, and
sure.
I put it 6 seconds.
Okay.
I think it was legit. It seemed afterward like, whoa, they got lucky. I think it was legit.
Was Carson hitched on that and threw it? I mean, it was really a perfectly executed throw, call, and execution from Alshon.
It was
Alshon.
Like the pass to Lambeer that time, way back when. It's like, did they really have that much time?
Yeah.
They did. They used it wisely.
All right, there you go.
Here you go. Number three. It is cliche, Dave Spadaro, to say next man up, but it really is true. We saw they went into the game shorthanded in the secondary. Secondary survived. They're going to have to do it again against Phillip Rivers. Not sure who's going to be back. During the game, they lose Fletcher Cox. They lose Jordan Hicks. I mean, those are maybe the two most important guys you have on defense. Well, maybe along with Ronald Darby, who you already lost, and Malcolm Jenkins. I thought Michael Kendricks and Najee Good stepped up very well at linebacker. Yes, the defense wore out at the end, but they did next man up. Now they're going to have to do it again. We know Darren Sproles is out. We'll see if it's Smallwood or Clement or however that works out. They did it successfully. They beat the Giants, and next man up really has to apply.
Yeah, a large number of pretty significant injuries early in the season. You don't see that often, but agreed. The depth of this roster really being tested. Good takeaways.
Thank you, Dave.
Something a little different than what we're hearing on a daily basis here.
Jack and the Giants Slayer.
Jason the Giants Slayer. Much more to get to here on Eagles 360, including our Alumni of the Week presented by Santander. We'll clue you in on who that is in just a bit. But when we return to Eagles 360, Doug Peterson, Eagles head coach in studio, talking a little bit of Giants and a lot of Chargers. This portion of Eagles 360 was presented by Santander. Simply write checking from Santander Bank. The checking account that's convenient and gives you more control. Sounds simple, doesn't it? Visit one of our branches or santanderbank.com/simple to learn more and sign up today.
New pass every month? That's old news. Switch to the reloadable, replaceable, reusable Septa Key. Visit iSeptaPhilly.com for info.
Come and see what's happening at your local Acme. Better sale prices, superior service, and great quality products. Cleaner, friendlier, fresher. Like fresher meat and seafood. And fresher produce and hundreds of organics. And our butchers cut our USDA Choice Lancaster beef in store every day. So stop in, shop, and see for yourself why Acme is just better. Acme. The official supermarket of the Philadelphia Eagles.
There are bumps along the road of life, and for each one, there's AAA.
It's just three cases, right?
Hello, everyone. Welcome. Eagles insider Dave Spadaro, along with the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Doug Peterson. It's our weekly exclusive segment, sponsored by, and presented by, and brought to you by Wawa, of course, the great Wawa. Doug, how are you doing today? Tuesday, the glow of the victory is over. You're on to the San Diego Chargers, the LA Chargers.
There you go. Yeah,
it's going to happen a lot this week.
On to the LA Chargers, for sure. But very excited for the win for the players on Sunday.
So many things to talk about in that game. I'd love to first begin with the defense and overcoming adversity, one of the themes of this team, with all those starters out. What did that group of players show you?
just the resiliency. You know, saw it a little bit at the end of the season last year, and it carried over and spills over into this season. And the way the guys just stepped up and battled. And, you know, you got Elijah Qualls is having to play a lot more now because of Fletcher's down. And, you know, and Michael Kendricks is getting more time now that Jordan Hicks was out of the game, obviously. And you got Rasul Douglas on the outside and Chris Marigo stepping in. And guys that typically role-type players are playing full-time. And then the rest of the defense, you know, Malcolm Jenkins is just flying around making plays. And, you know, Jalen Mills had his hands full all day long yesterday. But just the resiliency of that defense coming together, battling, playing well, creating turnovers, which we needed. Outstanding job by the defense.
Big stops on the goal line. Your thoughts down there? They have a first and 10 at the 10-yard line. Chance to really take momentum of the game. And the defense stepped up.
They did. You know, they marched it all the way down the field. You know, got it all the way down to within inches of the goal line on fourth and goal. And it could have been a game changer at that point because that was right into halftime. And they were they were getting the ball to start the second half. So it could have been tied at halftime. But defense really stepped up, and Vinny Curry, outstanding job of going low, and you know, Joe Walker diving over the top. And I mean, it was just a great team effort to stop them there right before half.
Three games in, Doug, how do you feel about the defense? And when all these pieces come back together, how good can this group be?
I think this group can be one of the most, you know, or one of the more dominating defenses in the National Football League. They're playing extremely well right now. You know, we do have some pieces that are missing, but at the same time, these guys are getting healthy, and we'll get them back here in the next few weeks. But I'm excited. I mean, they've been keeping our offense right now into these games. You know, offense has got to do – we got to do a little bit better on offense. We've got to score some more points, especially when we get down in the red zone. But, you know, they're keeping us in these games. They're creating turnovers and giving our offense more chances, which, you know, should lead to points and more wins.
What's San Diego's offense? What's the big challenge there?
Well, obviously –
San Diego, I said it again.
You said it again. It's the L.A. Chargers. You know, really
– I'm going to do this all week.
You are.
Yeah.
I know you are. Really, as long as they got Phillip Rivers, you know, their passing game is very dynamic. They got a really good runner. Melvin Gordon is a great runner, young runner in the league. And conversely, on defense, you look at them, they got some great, good pass rushers.
Yeah. Ingram and Bosa
and those guys. And Corey Legit in the middle can push the pocket. And it's a good defense. They're, again, it's another dangerous team overall, you know, 0-3. And I don't think you need to – You don't need to go to sleep on this football team because they can light the scoreboard up, and they've done that in the past, offensively, defensively as well. So we got to go out on the road. We got to go to the West Coast and perform again this weekend.
You mentioned the offense, Doug, and saying maybe it's not quite where you want it to be. Where are you not hitting all the cylinders?
Well, it's just not – we're not putting the whole package together. You know, the first couple of weeks it was the passing game, and then this third game it was more the running game. And, you know, you'd like to have a little more of continuity between the two. And you know, we're close. We're still a work in progress. We got obviously better in the run game this past weekend and got the runners involved. And offensive line, listen, they battled. They did some great things. Our tackles did an outstanding job. You know, Jason Peters and Lane Johnson on those two pass rushers did an outstanding job all day. And keeping Carson clean for the most part. But, you know, we just got to make sure now we just got to time this thing up. Run and pass have got to marry up, and we continue to work.
Ultimately, do you think it'll be a running back by committee with Lee Garrett and with Wendell and with Corey Clement as well?
I think so. It was a good formula this past weekend. It was great to see LeGarrette really attack and hit, and Wendell the same way. Both are powerful runners, different style, but at the same time, you know, very powerful. Both had 12 carries, I believe, and then you get Corey in there and you get him involved. Great touchdown run late in the game in the fourth, and so it'll be still the running back by committee a little bit. Each one has a role, and that's how we'll present it, and that's how we'll prepare each week.
How do you see left guard moving forward?
Well, I think we're going to continue to evaluate that spot, and Chance obviously did some good things. Wiz stepped in there, did some good things. Isaac is still there and learning and growing, so you know we'll continue to evaluate. And by Sunday, we'll have the best five, and particularly at that spot, the best one that we feel moving forward in that position.
For the first time in his career, Carson Wentz took the offense down the field and scored a walk-off points to win the game. in the big picture here, what does that mean for him? What does it mean for the football team?
Well, what it means is we're learning from last season. And what I mean by that is, you know, we had chances to win games late in the game last year several times, and we didn't finish. And now we're learning how to finish. We're learning how to execute the offense and or the defense, and obviously the special teams at the end. But just learning how to finish and then winning that game in the way we did win it, and how we were effective with even seconds to left in the game to complete a pass, the awareness to step out of bounds, things that we practice over and over and over are now starting to come kind of to fruition. So it's a great learning experience, the way we battled and pulled that game out, and now that's momentum in these next couple of weeks.
Doug, on Sunday, Darren Sproles goes down. You announced on Monday, torn ACL, broken arm, done for the season. What kind of loss is that for you, with Darren on and off the field?
Well, number one, you lose a great person. Someone that's a great leader on and off the football field. He's a great man. You'll be missed in the locker room, just his leadership. And then obviously on the field, the way he works in practice every single day, he's 100%, 100 miles an hour every day in practice. And that spills over to the other guys, not only at his position, but the rest of the team. And that piece being removed can be a blow, but now it's about the next guy, the guys that have to rally around, just like the defense did a week ago. We have to rally not only around him now and lift him up, but at the same time, fill that void and step up. So it is a great loss, for the football team, but at the same time, we keep moving and we keep battling and take his spirit and take his energy going forward.
Doug, this weekend it's the Los Angeles Chargers. Long trip. Thank you. I learned pretty quickly.
There you go.
It's back and forth. Three games on the road out of four. Is there are you doing things to make sure the players are fresh, that this early travel season doesn't get to them?
Yeah, I look at every creative way I can to maximize the walkthroughs and practice without taxing them, keeping them as fresh as I can, going into the game. But at the same time, getting the reps, you still have to practice and you still have to go through the routine and detail your work and fine tune your work. So you do what you can, as a coach, even with guys banged up, it stretches you a little bit thin, even when you're trying to service your offense or defense. So, we'll prepare like normal, get ready to go out there and play another football game.
Well, good luck. Get a win. There'll be a lot of Eagles fans out there at the StubHub Center. It will be like a home game.
The crowd on
Sunday was awesome.
Our crowd's unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable. It was a great way to open our stadium, open our season, home opener. Crowd was fabulous, and that's obviously what we expect each and every weekend.
Doug Peterson, thanks so much. Our one-on-one each week brought to you by Wawa. Doug Peterson, thank you. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be back in just a bit. This portion of Eagles 360 was presented by Rothman at Jefferson. Eagles High School Football Showdown presented by the Rothman Institute at Jefferson celebrates local high school football teams and coaches. Visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com/showdown to vote for this week's Game of the Week.
No bounce.
Mom, stop screaming at me.
Mom!
There are bumps along the road of life, and for each one, there's AAA.
Stop!
I've been an athlete for as long as I can remember. In the summer, I was taking a long bike ride, and when I looked up, a tree had fallen across the shoulder of the road. And when I came to, I couldn't feel anything below my neck, and I thought my life had changed forever. I was helivacked to Jefferson Hospital, and the Rothman doctors did an emergency procedure and fused the vertebrae in my spine. Now I'm back on the bike, I'm enjoying myself, and it's all thanks to the Rothman doctors at Jefferson.
Finding the end zone is his specialty. In fact, he's found it over 17 times already today. He is a professional football watcher. Because he has NFL Red Zone from NFL Network on Xfinity, he catches every touchdown from every game Sunday afternoons all season long. Become a pro fan only with Xfinity. Switch to an X1 triple play and add the sports entertainment package to get NFL Red Zone. Call or go online today.
Ta-ta tokens. The SEPTA Key travel wallet is here. Visit iSEPTAPhilly.com to meet the less jingly way to pay.
Come and see what's happening at your local Acme. Better sale prices, superior service, and great quality products. Cleaner, friendlier, fresher. Like fresher meat and seafood. And fresher produce and hundreds of organics. And our butchers cut our USDA Choice Lancaster beef in store every day. So stop in, shop, and see for yourself why Acme is just better. Acme, the official supermarket of the Philadelphia Eagles.
We welcome you back. Dave Spadaro, Glenn Macnell here. It's Eagles 360. We come your way on PhiladelphiaEagles.com and our official app. Time now for the Santander Legend of the Week. And I think he's a legend. And I certainly admire his career path. Enjoyed a wonderful NFL career. Was not drafted into the NFL. Played at Boise State. And has made himself into a huge success story. We are joined by former Eagles safety, Quinton Michael. Quinton, how are you on this fine day?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. Doing great. Beautiful day out. Just enjoying the sun.
What is Quinton Michael doing these days?
Really these days I'm just kind of hanging at home, taking care of the kids and helping out around the house. My wife is about to open a cryotherapy spa out here in Voorhees. So helping a little bit with that, but that's mostly her thing. So just really enjoying life, coaching my son's football team and having a good time.
Nice.
Quinton, as Dave said, you came into the league as an undrafted free agent. That's not an easy thing to do. What kind of mindset does that take?
Yeah, it's very tough. You have to really come in, kind of motivated, almost with a chip on your shoulder. A lot of times when guys are undrafted, they feel that they should have been drafted, and I certainly felt that I should have been drafted. And so I kind of came into camp with a purpose. I came in with the idea that, I wasn't going to be turned away. I was going to do everything it took for me to stay here. And so, I played a lot of angry football, especially early on, and really throughout my career, but especially early on, just played a lot of angry football and just tried to be the best that I could be every time I came out there.
Quinton, did you feel that once you stepped onto the field at training camp, that it didn't matter that you weren't drafted, that everybody kind of had that equal opportunity to impress the coaches?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, my situation when I came in was it was actually a pretty good situation that, Brian Dawkins was here the year before they had drafted Mike Lewis. And then after that, there wasn't really any solidified people. So I had the best opportunity to make the team out of any of the other places that were trying to bring me in. And so I honestly felt from day one that if I played my best football and I did everything that was asked of me, that I would definitely get a chance. And they told me that going in. They said, don't when you go into practice, don't count the numbers, don't count who's in front of you, don't worry about any of that stuff. Just worry about yourself and worry about how you play the game, and then the rest will take care of itself. So,
well, Quinton, you became a regular, you became a Pro Bowler, you had a lengthy career. Here's a question I bet you've never been asked: what impact did Brian Dawkins have on you early in your career?
Well, I mean, a tremendous impact. I mean, anytime you talk about a future Hall of Famer, a guy that carried himself on and off the field with so much integrity and played the game with so much fire and desire. Anytime you get a chance to emulate that person and you get to see them every day in and day out, and just sit there and watch and learn from them, and that was a tremendous effect. It had a tremendous effect on not only me but our entire team. I mean, the way he played the game, it didn't just happen in the secondary or the defense. It really filtered throughout the entire team, and that was a beautiful thing to be a part of.
2005, the Eagles hosting the San Diego Chargers at Lincoln Financial Field. Things did not look promising. They line up for a field goal. You block it. Matt Ware returns it for a touchdown. We just came off a miracle win on Sunday against the Giants here, a 61-yard field goal. That game also would fall into the category of miracle win. What are your memories of that game?
Yeah, that was a fun game. I mean, I felt like even though it wasn't looking too good, I just always felt that we were going to win that game. Coming into the game, the way the flow of the game, we were making plays, they were making plays, and I just remember right before that last field goal block, I remember telling Coach Harbaugh, I said, "I can get it, Coach, I can get it. Just let me go, let me go." because the entire game, the wing on that side, he kept getting really wide, and we hadn't rushed on that side much during the game. And so I was like, Coach, just let me – and give him his credit, Coach Harbaugh, he believed in me. He called the rush on the right side, it opened up. It was just a beautiful sight, and I jumped through and blocked the field goal, and Matt took care of the rest, man. And I'll never forget that feeling, just feeling like I helped the team win. I was like one of the greatest feelings I've ever had in my life. So it was definitely a beautiful thing.
Quentin, I want to ask you a question about the current team now. They have a lot of rookies, young guys in the secondary, some of them kind of forced start because of injuries. What's the toughest adjustment? What's the biggest thing that a young player, young starter like that has to learn?
You know, there's a couple of things that are tough for young guys in the secondary. You know, a lot of times you can see, and I haven't seen it too much with these young guys, but the game, there's a lot of ups and downs in the game, especially in the secondary. You'll make a big play, and then you might give up a play. So there's a lot of ups and downs. So the toughest thing for a guy that's young, that especially if they had a whole lot of success in college, is to be able to weather the storm, to be able to bounce back if you make a bad play, or if you make a good play, be able to come back and make another play again. So I think that's probably one of the hardest things, the mental part. I mean, most of those guys, you know, they're athletic, they're fast enough, they have the talent, they have good size. It's the mental part of the game that's the biggest adjustment. And so far, I've seen really good things from the young guys. I mean, I saw Rasul Douglas make that interception on Brandon Marshall. You know, that was a beautiful play, and a lot of rookies don't make that play. And so they might jump up there and just knock it down because they're just kind of worried about where the receiver's at. But he went up there and made the play, got the interception. So that was a beautiful thing to see. And I've been seeing a lot of these young guys. I mean, they're stepping up. They're making plays when they need to. Even if they have a bad play, they still stay with it. They come back and they make the play the next time. So I'm really happy to see the way these guys are playing right now.
Quentin, I think last question here, that it's very interesting to see this weekend. The Eagles go to Los Angeles to play the Chargers. The expectation is that the StubHub Center will be filled with Eagles fans. And I know after Philadelphia, you played in, I guess, St. Louis, Carolina. Your thoughts on Eagles fans? Obviously, you stayed in the area, and we applaud you for that. Eagles fans and what they believe in and what they mean to a player who's on the Eagles roster.
Man, I was fortunate enough to play in two other cities. Philadelphia is by far has the best fans. I mean, they're the craziest, but they when they support you, they come out and they support you. I mean, they travel well. Every time we played on the West Coast, every time we played, you know, in Seattle or Kansas City or, you know, San Diego, back when they were in San Diego, the Chargers were, we always had a ton of fans, a ton of followings. I remember my first Monday night game down in Miami, and it was a late game, but I just remember going down and seeing so many fans in the stands. And I remember my dad saying he had come down to the game, and he had went out and he was kind of hanging around the city, and he was shocked at how many Eagles fans were there. And that's just, it's a beautiful thing because you have that support, and especially on the road, it makes such a big difference to the guys and to the players to have the fans out there supporting them, you know, cheering them on, and it really, it gives you energy. And so, you know, our fans, the Eagles fans, are the greatest on the earth. They do get a little rowdy and crazy, but we love that. I mean, that's what this city's all about. And I truly appreciate it as players, and I'm sure that the players that are currently on the team truly appreciate that too.
Quentin, Michael, we thank you so much. Great to hear from you. Glad things are going so well, and we will see you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, Quentin Michael, our Santander Legend of the Week. Let's get you caught up on what's happening with the Philadelphia Eagles here. Our Amoroso's On the Menu segment. We come back on Wednesday with Carson Wentz, a miking from Sunday's game. He'll join me in studio to talk about that remarkable win over the Giants and look ahead to the Chargers. Mike Quick in studio, our first look at the Los Angeles Chargers. I think I'm going to get that, but maybe not a lot.
A few years.
Yeah, and then our progress report with linebacker Michael Kendricks. Hey, a couple of months ago, who thought he would be even on the team? Now he's making plays, a lot of plays, big plays with this defense. Right? Michael Kendricks.
The first three games, he's been terrific.
He's been terrific. Discipline, physical.
Time, yeah, absolutely.
Looking forward to that progress report. Glenn, what do you think about the Chargers, the bounce back, the emotional resources that you need to raise, and what does Jake Elliott do for his next act? Yeah.
Just be perfect, yeah. Right? Don't miss an extra point. I think that Sunday's game was a lot closer than people expected and not really the way people wanted it to go. But sometimes, Dave, here's going to be the upbeat look. Sometimes you gain character by blowing a lead and then winning the game. And so this team now, you get the uplift. I think they go out to the West Coast. I think they're going to win this game. I haven't watched San Diego this year, but...
San Diego, did it.
Wow. Oh, there you go.
It's contagious.
When do they play the St. Louis Cardinals?
Exactly.
Is that coming up?
Exactly. All right, Glenn Macnell, Dave Spadaro, we thank you for joining us here on Eagles 360. Have yourselves a great Eagles night.